We are after Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so I think it's time to prepare for the Seder. If there's one aspect of the Seder that sometimes is overlooked or not appreciated enough because people are not exactly clear what's going on, it is the Kara, it is the plate. And what we'd like to do tonight, in the short time that we have, is to discuss the Seder plate and the way it's structured, the way it is, what's the significance behind it, and different menahagim that relate to it, and why everything is where it is on the plate, and what we should take away from it. Just in front of you, I just want to point out, you have two sheets. First is the two different menhagim of the Ramah, the three menhagim of the Ramah, the Vilna Gaon, and the Arizal. We'll discuss those in depth in a moment. But in the packet over here, this is just a take-home for your pleasure. This is printed from the end of the second volume of the Netay Gavriel, Rav Gavriel Tzinner, who's dying in Brooklyn. So he did an amazing job. I don't know who did the artwork on this, but he drew pictures of what every Seder plate would look like according to all the different opinions and the different menhagim, which I think is such a beautiful idea to see all the different customs that people used and brought together, the Ramah and the Maharal of Prague, and this interesting plate from the Baal Seder Hayom, which includes all different types of species in there as well, and Amshinov and Babov and Bells and all the different other types of Hasidim and all different types of groups and how they do it. And very interesting of Square. I see here by the Tofrei Samach Tes, by Square, they have one long piece of fabric that they wrap around three times, which is also very beautiful. And Kloisenberg, it's just very, very nice, I think, just to see how all the different customs come together. So this you can reference on your own. On the last page, he just goes the different minhagim by the Kara according to each species of Zroa, Mar, Charosis, the Karpas, the Beitz of what they do, and how it's presented. Just, I think, something very nice to look over and to see the different Jewish customs. We might reference this later back again. The source of the Kara is not really in the Gemara. It doesn't really mention openly in the Gemara. The Tur writes in Tuf Ayin Gimel, Umevian the fun of Kara, we bring before the Baal HaSeder, the person who's running the Seder, the Kara, the plate, Shaba, Shalosh Matzahs, this has three matzahs, Maror, Charoses, Shar Yurakos, vegetables, no defining definition of what the vegetables are, Umeizim in Shir, so whatever you want, Ushnei Tavshilin, and two cooked foods. That is pretty much what our Seder plate looks like. This is brought by the Shulchan Aruch as well, in Taf Ayin Gimel. The Gra there in the Shulchan Aruch notes, really the earliest source of the Kara might be Tosis and Sachem on Kuf Tes Vav and Mabez. Tosis there talks about how they're Masalek and they bring back and forward the Kara, the plate. In his day there was already a plate. In the times of the Gemara they had these tables. So in the days of the Baal Tosis there was already a designated plate that held the different species that are going to be used on the Seder night. The Kara also is going to have matzos as well, because we need to have al matzos u'morim yochluhu. So the Kara also include the matzah being there, so the Haggadah should be said over the matzah. And these are the earliest sources as well. The Ramah also adds that you should have salt water on the Kara. However, Rav Yaakov Emden and the Siddur and the Kaf HaChaim say that the salt water is not on the plate, it's off the plate. This is the sheet of the Chayadim as well in the Aruch HaShulchan. I think most Seder plates do not have the salt water on the plate, it's probably off to the side, but I'm sure you can find one that has it on it. We discussed salt water at the table in depth last year, so you can always go back and look at your notes on that. What we said about salt water, and there's really no source for the idea that it's salty because of the tears of the Jewish people. Now, there are three major menhagim, despite the 15 or 16 menhagim we brought here in the packets. There are only three major menhagim. Let's go through each one and explain what's going on over here. If you look on the sheet over here, if you look in the bottom, you have the plate of the Ramah. So the Ramah cites the Maharil in Hilchos Pesach, who says that the Kara should be set up so that the matzos, that the mitzvahs that come first are closest to you, and then it moves backwards towards the back of the Kara. This is based on the principle of Ein Ma'avirin al HaMitzos. We do not pass over mitzvahs. So the Seder plate is utilitarian, according to the Ramah. It is there to be used in a useful fashion to get the most out of it. And therefore, if you look at the front of the plate, is the water and the karpas, and behind them comes the mar and the charosish that come next in the that come there with the three matzahs in the middle of the plate, and at the very back is the beitz and the zroa, because in the Ramah's idea, you're not really doing anything with the beitz and the zroa anyway, so it should be in the back of the kara.
This is pointing to the head of the Seder?
Yeah, meaning the front is towards the head of the Seder, and
so
the back
reverse of what in the of your sheet, the Ramah, I mean, not the reverse, I mean,
Meaning you're sitting in the front of the...
I'm seeing carpus of salt water or chazera or zoro baits in which one it is in all the cases.
What do you mean?
I'm just trying to... And your diagram...
Yeah, you're sitting over here. So you're moving backwards. You're moving... You use what's closest to you at the front. Use this and then the next one and then the back. So the Rama is set it up in a useful way according to Maharil. Really, as we'll see, we don't really follow the Rama. Seder plates are not built like that. However, Rav Moshe is born in the different Haggadahs that Rav Moshe finds that did follow the Kara of the Rama. The other popular Seder plate that we don't use is that of the Vilna Gaon. If you look on the top left of the sheet, so the Maisa Rav of the Minhagim of the Gra and Simon Kuf Tzadiyal cites the Gra, who held, first of all, there are two matzos in the middle. The Gra only has two matzos. We'll get to why he holds two matzahs in a second when we discuss the different things. Behind them are the maror and the charoses, and in front of the kara is the zroa and the beitza. There's no karpas, because according to the gra, the kara is only brought after karpas. You only bring it to the table after that step, so there's really no purpose to have it on the plate. It's not for show, it's supposed to use it. The Siddur Pesach, Kilchaso, and Chelek Beis cites those who follow the plate of the Vilna Gaon, but not the amount of matzahs. There are some people who compromise. They'll have three matzahs, but they'll keep the plate of the Vilna Gaon, like the Shulchan Aruch. And there's a story in the Alios Eliyahu, which is the Minhagim and the different stories of the Vilna Gaon. We all know that the Gra put himself into a personal exile, a personal gullus at some point in his life. And the story is told that when the Gra, even when he was in gullus, and he was eating Seder in other people's homes who had no idea who he was, he set up his kara his way and did not follow the sheet of the Rama. He felt it even that way. They asked Yosef Chaim Zandfeld a question, isn't that lo sisko to do, going against the customs of the place? And Yosef Chaim Zandfeld said, no, it's not a problem. And the Gra was correct in what he did. That is plate number two. Plate number three, which we care about, because this is the plate that we probably all use, is the plate of the Arizal. We know the Arizal's plate from the Be'er Heitev, there in Shulchan Aruch, Princeton, your standard Mishnah Berurah, and Siman Tov Ayin Gimel, in Os Ches. And there he cites the Minhag Olam of the Arizal, which is based on the Pri Eitz Chaim and the Shaar Chag HaMatzos. And he explains as follows. What's going on here? The Arizal's plate is supposed to mimic the Seder of the Sfiros, the 10 Sfiros of Kabbalah. That's how it's looked at. So all you have to do is look here on our sheets over here, and you'll see that it goes from top to bottom in the way that it's set up. On the top is the top matzah, which represents Chachma, the middle matzah, which represents Bina, and then the next matzah, which represents Das. And then he says as follows. The Zeroa is to the back right, and the Beitz is to the back left. The Maror is below them. Then comes the Karpas, is further toward, forward on the left side, and the Charosis is further forward on the right side, right? And then the Chazeres, which is the Maror for Korach, we'll discuss that in a moment, is in the middle all the way towards the front. And then the Zeroa, and they all represent different things. And they all represent different aspects that we'll discuss in a moment. And then the Kara itself, the plate itself is the 10th item. The plate itself is the 10th item, and that represents Malchus and the last area of the Sefiros. So how do we explain all these different things? So first of all, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and Tafayin Gimel and Os Chavav, he says that really the Arizal is a compromise. It's Sefiros and Kabbalah plus utilitarian. It's a little bit useful, kind of. It's a bit of a push to say how this is really useful if the Maror is in towards the back behind the Charoses. But it's kind of useful, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, but really it's more Kabbalistic. That's how the setup works according to the 10th Sefiros. So the Rebbe Rashab of Chabad explains as follows, that Zeroa represents Chesed, because Zeroa Netuya, Hashem's outstretched arm took us out of Mitzrayim. Beitza represents Gvura, because the Beitza is solidified and hard, representing that idea of strength. The Maror represents Tiferes, because through the eating of Maror, it teaches us to be empathetic and have a sense of empathy towards other people, which is the Midah of Tiferes. Then those three constitute one subset of the Sefiros by themselves. That's one triangle on its own, you'll see. And then comes the Charosis. The Charosis represents Netzach, which is the permanence of the mortar. The mortar represents permanence, and that's Netzach, everlastingness. And then comes the Karpas, which is Hod, because Karpas grows low to the ground as a vegetable. And then Chazeres represents Yesod, the joining together of the Matzah and Korech, bringing different parts together. And those are a different subset, a different triangle within the Sefiros itself. Okay, now, that's al pi Kabbalah, and whether you understand the Kabbalah or not, the meaning of chayas is also use the plate of the Arizal. So that's what's going on at the Seder, whether or not you know it or not. No, only the Ramah. The Mechaber just says, have a plate. He doesn't care anything about order or anything like that. There's no significance there, only from the Ramah and the Gra and the Arizal.
So it's very recent, this whole concern.
Correct.
It's not the Ramah. Usually I think the Ramah is differing with the...
Correct. It is definitely a later thing. I mean, the Ramah quotes the Maharil, so it's going back earlier than that, but not any earlier than the period of the Maharil. Okay, let's discuss what's on the Seder plate. Pashup Shat. Let's get rid of the Vortlach for a second, and the Gematrias, and all the Divrei Torah. Let's just understand, when we get to the Seder, why are those things there, and what purpose does the Kara use for us? So we know that there are three matzos. Why? Because we need to have Lechem Mishnah at the Seder. We need to have two loaves that are complete. And if you break the middle matzah, then you don't have Lechem Mishnah, you don't have complete loaves for Hamotzi Matzah. So therefore, we need to have an extra matzah when we break for Yachatz. The Vilna Gaon disagreed. The Vilna Gaon only had two matzahs because the Vilna Gaon felt that on the night of the Seder, the mitzvah is lechem only. The mitzvah is to have broken matzah. And therefore, the Vilna Gaon said, one night a year or two nights a year, depending on where you live, the broken matzah is considered a complete matzah, and it's appropriate matzah for Leil HaSeder, because the mitzvah of the night is to have broken matzah. That's an exception to the rule, says the Gra, but the minig again is not like the Gra, and we have three matzahs. There are all different types of ramazim, like Tanakh, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, the Shlosha Avos, Kohen Levi Yisrael, Moshe Aaron and Miriam, whatever you want to throw in, those are all ramazim. But the Pashup Shat is because we need to have two complete loaves of bread. Then there's the Zroa. Why do we have a Zroa? Because the Korban Pesach needs to be eaten al hasoveya. The Korban Pesach needs to be eaten while you are full. Because if you eat it while you are famished, then you might get too excited and break a bone, which is a very severe punishment from the Torah. And therefore, we need to have something before we have the Korban Pesach, a Korban Chagiga. So the Zroa represents this idea. And the Mishnah says to have Beis Tavshilin, two cooked foods, to remember the Chagiga and the Pesach. And the Gemara says you can use any two cooked foods. And as a remez, we use the Zroa. Why? B'yad Chazakah of Zroa Netuya. That is simple explanation as to why we have a Zroa there, to represent either the Chagiga or the Korban Pesach. Probably the Korban Pesach. The next is the Beitza. The Beitza, the egg, represents the Chagiga. That's just to have two cooked foods. Why do we choose an egg? So the reason given is because the first night of Pesach is always the first night of Tisha B'Av. And we want to connect to this idea that by Tisha B'Av we have eggs by the Suda HaMafsekes, before you start the fast. And we want to reference this connection between Tisha B'Av and Pesach. Rabbi Soloveitchik has a beautiful idea in Rabbi Ganak's Haggadah, An Exalted Evening, where he quotes from his notes, that Rabbi Soloveitchik quotes the Beis HaLevi, that there's a deeper connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av, because really we were supposed to be in Galus for 400 years, says the Beis HaLevi. But what happened? We were so low that if we would have lasted any longer, we never would have gotten out. So Hashem had to sweep in very quickly, the Chipazon, in a very quick way, and take us out of Mitzrayim before it got any worse. That was 210 years. But since the original Gzeru was to be for 400 years, the other 190 had to be paid back at a certain point. And therefore, eventually there would be Chorban HaBayis and other terrible catastrophes. And therefore, we see that Tisha B'Av is kind of like a repayment and extension of not finishing the original decree from going down to Mitzrayim. And that's why the two are connected between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Soloveitchik then points out, adding on to the Beis HaLevi, there's only two places in Halacha where we discuss having two cooked foods. One is by Leil HaSeder to have two cooked foods, and the other is by the laws of Tisha B'Av. By Erev Tisha B'Av, you cannot have two cooked foods. You can only have one cooked food. And therefore, we see there's another connection between two cooked foods connecting Tisha B'Av and Pesach evening. Then comes Karpas. Why do we have Karpas? Why do we have Karpas?
Aviv.
What?
Aviv.
Aviv?
Yeah, green symbolizing Chodesh Aviv.
Good. Ramazan. Why have Pashup Shat? Why do we have Karpas? We have Karpas because the children will ask. That's what the Gemara says. The children should ask, what are we doing with these weird vegetables over here? Now we live in a time where people eat lots of different weird vegetables, so it's not so clear if it's going to get anybody's question, but this is what we do by the Seder. Why do we use then, if we're supposed to dip, right? After Kiddush, before the meal, why do we use Pri HaAdamah? Because we need to have something that's going to cover the Marah. right? So therefore anyone can use any adama that's going to cover. The minhag for many people is to use something that's green, because the Gemara talks about having a yarek, and yarek is yarok is green. The minhag is that many people have green. But nevertheless, you can use any adama. A lot of people use potatoes. You can use bananas. People like to do funny things like that just to get the kids paying attention. But any adama would be fine in order to cover the maror later on. The maror. Why do we have maror?
How's it cover the maror? I mean, a few blocks in, I've heard that but there's two problems. Number one, the time.
In terms of
time, yeah. You have a motzi in between. I mean, do we normally have a bracha and a motzi? You know, we have a motzi in before the maror.
Well, the problem with the maror is that if you have the maror is not really part of the suda, so therefore it's unclear if the hamotzi is going to cover the maror.
It's only a time, since you have a lot of heps.
Time. It should be, it could potentially still be enough. It could potentially still be enough.
So it can't be a long seder.
One could make such a inference. But I'm not here to tell people how long to run the sedarim. So the pasuk says, V'imaru es chayhem b'vodak hashav. Very simple. Our lives are embittered, so we have maror. The Gemara lists five species of bitter herbs. The first on the list is romaine lettuce, and therefore, really, mikra adin, romaine should be the best one, and people who like to punish themselves will have horseradish. But that's up to you as well. Chas is the first on the list because it's a remez that Hashem was chas. He had rachmanis on Bnei Yisrael. In Europe, they didn't have lettuce, so they used horseradish instead. But that's by the maror.
Is it the bracha, however, on tamcha shahakol? I never understood that.
On what?
When you eat horseradish.
Yeah, because it's not
shahakol, like it's a lemon or
a it's not an
egg.
Edible food.
Right.
Yeah, I hear.
There's a lot of questions on horseradish. To use romaine rather than
tampa. Oh, for sure. There's definitely a lot of questions on horseradish. I'm not going to tell anyone they should do whatever their family minhag is.
But that'll be an example.
But there's definitely a lot of questions.
Assuming that's also
the question on, for some reason,
you put it on top of the green. That's what
you put it in the green. If you just want it by itself, then
no.
That could be a problem. There's also a question on the artists who like to draw parsley. Parsley's also, and all the Haggadahs always a picture of parsley.
Right.
As the carpus. That's also a problem because it's not clear that you eat raw parsley as well. That could also be maybe a shahakal. I don't know anyone who eats raw parsley besides rabbits. So I'm not sure how that got into the mixture as well. Fine. Next comes charoses. Why do we have charoses there? Not because of the bricks. The charoses is there because the Gemara says either there's afraid of bugs in it and the charoses and the acidity is going to kill the bugs, or it takes away the bitterness by dipping it in something sweet. So Tosa cites Rabbein Elchananel, who says the charoses has to contain the ingredients that Klal Yisrael are compared to in Shir HaShirim. So apples, wine, nuts, all these different things, we include it to make this vinegary, sour thing that takes away from the bitterness of the maror. We don't place the charoses on the maror. That's incorrect. We take the maror and we simply dab it in to add some of the juice to it. But not to have, if you want to have charoses with your meal, you can save that for later, but not for maror. Finally, why do you have chazeres? That's everybody's biggest question. Why do you have two pieces there, and why is it called chazeres? It's just another maror to use for korech, but we don't want to call it maror again, so we call it chazeres. So it has a different name, so don't get confused. So it's just the other maror used for the korech of Hillel.
Can't be the same.
It can use the same thing. Great. Have a great time. If you want to switch it up, whatever you want, but it's just another maror. That's all it is. That is the Seder plate and the significance of everything that is there. Al pi pashup shat. I saw Rav Yisrael Harfenis, who's a dayan in Williamsburg, he writes in his Mekadesh Yisrael and Pesach and Patresh Lamedalad. I'll read you what he writes. He has a very strong question. He says, Al kein sarachi and masha behakara shos manenu miyuchadim nekomos katantanim. Why are the places for the shirim on the karo so small? Who's supposed to use that? They put a piece of mara there that's the size of your fingernail. How is that supposed to be effective? You're supposed to use the kara. They had such small holes to put all the food there. So he says, "Va'ad sidr haminim al hakara shekimat min hanimna le'achol mitocha kashir." There's no way you could have any, even the most lenient opinion, you cannot get a shear out of the mouth of those very small cups that people put on the seder plates. V'kol shekein litein mehem l'shar b'nei bayis, especially if you want to divvy up to the rest of the household. And he says he doesn't like the idea that it's just for show. The kara is not supposed to be used. You're supposed to participate from the kara. The kara is not a museum piece, he says. And he doesn't understand why we put such small things there. So, according to Rabbi Harfenis, I think it makes sense. We should try to fill up the kara with a proper shear. It might not look nice for a picture, but you should try to put all the proper shear on the kara can be used properly. Next, the Seder Hayom, Just as a side point, Rav Pinkus has a beautiful explanation in his Haggadah regarding the Sfiros and Kabbalah, regarding all the different 10 Sfiros there according to the Arizal, but we're going to leave that for another time. Let's just discuss some more issues regarding the Kara. The Seder Hayom, at the end of Seder Bir Chametz, says that you should use a Kara that is Yafa and Mehudar, a beautiful Kara, for the purpose of the Hidr Mitzvah. Why not? It should find, if you have the means to have a beautiful Seder plate, one should certainly go and invest and have a fine Seder plate. The Haggadah Vayagad Moshe in Beis Hay points to a Mishnah in Bikurim in Perek Gimel that says they brought the Bikurim, it was done on nice kalim, beautiful kalim. So when you go to fulfill a mitzvah and you have a container to hold the items of the mitzvah, use a beautiful container, use a beautiful clay. He also notes that we have to be careful to do tefillah on the kara if it was if it's proper material and you bought it from a guy. So make sure your kara has tefillah since it is containing food.
Point this diagram with point to the Ari's viewpoint. Where's the matzah go?
The matzah,
so you have, this
look on this one. The matzah is supposed to go underneath everything.
And so
you're supposed to have a stack. You're supposed to have a stacked Seder plate. Most people, if you don't have a stacked Seder plate, so at least a soft one, you just stack it on top and put everything on top. If you don't, you're still fine. I wouldn't lose sleep over that. Next, the Seder Hayom and the Chayadim and Kuflamid says the Kara should be brought to the Seder on Erev Pesach. That's what the Chayadim says. Before the Seder starts, Erev Pesach, the Kara should be brought there. The Bach and Simon Tuf Pevav says it should be brought after washing for Karpas. Why? Because what are you asking for, right? The whole purpose is the children are gonna want them to ask. So if you bring it before Karpas, the children are going to think we're simply washing for the mitzvah, for what we have to do. So you have to bring it after, so the children will wonder what's going on. This is also brought in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and in the order of the Shulchan Aruch, you first make Kiddush, and then it's since bring the Kara as well. So, but that's not what most people do. Most people like to sit down to a Seder where the Kara is there. So we follow the minhag of the Abu Draham and the Prima Gadim who say to bring the Kara before Kiddush. I think that's what most people do. You bring it as you start the Seder and you continue from there. Now, sometimes it gets a little uncomfortable at the Seder when there's debate over who gets a Kara. Does only the head of the Seder get a Kara? Does everybody get a Kara? So what do we say about this? The Gemara in Sachem on Kuf Tesvav and Beis has machlokas whether each person should get their own kara or only the Baal HaBayis should have, and he gives to those who are present. So Shimi Bar Ashi says each person gets. So Tosis explains why? Because everyone wants to taste immediately from the bracha. If everyone's eating from the kara of the Baal HaBayis and I'm sitting 18 seats away, so I have to wait the whole time to get a piece of marah, the Seder is going to take even longer than it does. The Rashbam says that this opinion is only when everyone has his own table, right? Everyone has to wait. So Rav Huna says only the person leading the Seder gets. So what do? We have a Machlokas Tanayim, the Machlokas Amarayim in the Gemara. So Shulchan Aruch and Tafai and Gimel says clearly that only the Baal HaBayis gets a Kara. Nobody else should get one. And Rav Shernbach in his Haggadah Moedim Uzmanim explains that one may think that this is only when one person led the Seder for everyone, right? Maybe the Shulchan Aruch means that was in the olden days when one person read and everyone just sat there and paid attention. But in many places, many homes, many people and everyone reads the Haggadah along with the Baal HaSeder. So maybe those people are reading along and fulfilling the mitzvah of Haggadah on their own. Maybe they should have their own. But he says that since we all sit at one table, Rav Shernbach explains, it's like one kara. We all understand when we sit to the Seder table that we're all sharing in this kara. It's next to the Zaidi at the front. That's okay. But we know that it's all of our kara. We're all participating in it and using it for each person. The Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Yedzayin says clearly that there's only one kara on the table. And the Baal HaBayis dispenses to all the guests.
Can I ask a quick question about the Nogea exactly to this?
Yeah.
So I'm the Baal HaBayis. I make the Alakilas Matzah, Hametzi Lechem.
Yeah.
I pass out to... Now, it may take a good 60 to 90 seconds till the last person at the table gets the matzah.
Yeah.
Should he then make a Hametzi and an Alakilas Matzah? Should the B'nai Mishpacha say it with me?
If I was really organized and I knew I was going to have a lot of people there, so I would pre-set up shirim beforehand.
I think someone that did this.
I would, if I was really organized, I would pre-set up shirim, break a number of pieces of matzah into a Ziploc bag, and everyone has them by their table, by their seats. So when it's time, everyone just takes it out, they have what they need, and they go.
So requirement to have fire the car then.
So nowadays, no one's going to have necessarily from that kara. A little piece. So they can start on theirs, and then you can send around, and everyone can have one.
And they should make the bracha, the brachos, with me. Always.
That's up to them. You can be, have either be mostly them, or they can make their own. That's up to that's their decision. There are different minhagim. The Shulchan Aruch clearly said that you know everyone has their own, but by many many chassidim, each one does have their own. People under the age of bar mitzvah in different minhagim in Square and Boyan in different places. And Vishnitz, people, different people have different minhagim that everyone has. So again, as many things by Leil HaSeder, each person should follow the family minhagim. Most of Klal Yisrael, one person has the kara by the front, but if someone has a family minhag that everyone has, then kol hamarba harezim b'shuvah. So hopefully, after this little journey through the Seder plate, we'll have a greater appreciation as we sit down to the Seder and realize what's going on, and it's not just ordered there by artists who like to make pretty silver things. It's there for a purpose to invoke certain principles, certain machshavos, certain ideas that are meant to help us reflect on the messages of the night. Sometimes, within the hustle and bustle of Seder night, we miss out on the big picture of what we're supposed to be thinking about. Geula, Amun and Hashem, connection to Hashem, family, things like that, and we get distracted by all the different vortlach and things like that. So hopefully the kara is just one small reminder within the many things that go on in the night of the Seder to help us focus on what is important, connecting to the midos of Hashem, the ideas of how Hashem comes and helps us with his different midos and helps that we relate to him as well, and hopefully it will be a good Pesach for all of Klal Yisrael.